From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. It is officially over.
All those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. This house is adjourned. Sign it aye.
The 2019 Georgia General Assembly session has come to a close. Sine die wrapped up around midnight with a traditional flair. Lawmakers threw papers into the air as Tuesday turned into Wednesday. GPB's politics reporter Stephen Fowler and GPB Lawmakers Capitol correspondent Donna Lowry were there. So we're especially grateful to have you both here this morning to get a recap of Sine die in the entire 40 days of an historic legislative session. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to be here.
Well, really glad to have you. So, usual frenzy as the clock was ticking yesterday, and one of the final bills lawmakers passed governs the cultivation and distribution of medical marijuana. Here is Republican Representative Micah Gravley.
These families here have been fighting for 5 years. It made the best thing of the night was the fact that we know that this was not a measure that was contentious. It was supported by our governor. It was supported by our lieutenant governor, the Speaker of the House, who has been unwavering on behalf of these families.
So, Donna, what exactly does the bill allow and who likely to benefit?
Well, the big contention was whether or not how many dispensaries they would have, how many private licenses they would have. And right now we're talking 6 dispensaries. There's a limit on the amount of land that be used to be able to grow it.
To cultivate marijuana.
Actually, that was very much important in all of this. And then to be able to, within the next 12 months, to be able to actually get it to the point where it's in a form that people can use it. And right now, there are 8,400 people who are registered to be able to receive the cannabis oil. So the main contention, though, was whether or not, how fast it could actually get into the state and whether or not people outside of the state who have been producing it can get it in here faster. And they're thinking 12 to 18 months at this point.
Senator Gravley sounded surprised that it was not contentious. It is a little surprising. You might not expect that a conservative legislature. Why not?
Yeah, I think that it's been 5 years in the making, and we have heard the stories over and over again of young children who've had 100 seizures a day down to 1 a week. We've heard the stories of people who have PTSD and different things that have been, just so painful to listen to those stories. And so I think finally the lawmakers realized we've got to do something. As long as we make sure we are not making sure we're, as long as marijuana does not become an issue in this state, that we're not getting to the point where we're like California and Colorado.
Right. Right. And that's one of the things throughout this and the hemp cultivation bill that went through that these Republican conservative lawmakers had to say repeatedly, this is not a gateway to marijuana. This is not a gateway to legalization of marijuana. This is not a gateway to, you know, the drug, you know, part of things. So it was kind of explaining to maybe some of their older colleagues and some of their more skeptical colleagues that these families with these medical conditions that are traveling thousands of miles, spending money out of their own pocket to essentially break the law for these health reasons are not the same as, you know, trying to legalize recreational marijuana for everyone.
Well, Stephen, the medical marijuana bill and a few others were ironed out in conference committee. So could you walk us a little through that process, what these committees are and how they were used on this final day?
So, Virginia, picture, if you will, you know, some old timey legislators with their pocket watches and everything sitting around. And they have language like this where the House insists on its position on such and such bill and the Senate insists on its position, and they have all these like flowery languages to basically say, we're not budging from our version of this bill. So there's a smaller committee of 3 House representatives and 3 senators that meet in the hallway in another committee room and away from all of the shenanigans of the larger bodies to hash out these differences. For some of these bills, that also involved a trip to the principal's office to sit down with Governor Kemp's team to figure out the differences of what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, things like that. We had the medical marijuana bill there. We had some other bills dealing with some hunting regulations that went to conference committee. A bill dealing with apprenticeship hours for cosmetologists that also had to go to a conference committee. So it's not just these big bills that have to go to these committees. Sometimes just differences are too hard to work out.
So, and then they bring it back to the floor after that.
Correct.
Well, while these conference committees were meeting, Hollywood actress Alyssa Milano held a press conference at the Capitol calling on Governor Kemp to veto HB 481, better known now as the so-called heartbeat legislation. Here's some of what she had to say.
We've been glad to bring billions of dollars in revenue to support Georgia's schools, parks, and communities. But we cannot, in good conscience, continue to recommend our industry remain in Georgia if HB 481 becomes the law.
How have these threats been received by the governor and Republicans in the state legislature?
Well, so what happened is Alyssa Milano came and delivered this letter to the governor's office. The governor wasn't there, but one of his floor leaders, Representative Dominic Larricchia, was there. And there's this video that kind of went viral of an exchange where the representative's like, "And what district are you from?" And so maybe some of these threats and boycotts or things aren't being taken seriously by Republicans in the legislature. I know Speaker Ralston said last week that, you know, he didn't expect Hollywood to try to tell him what Georgia values were. So there's a certain element of that. But there's also the local aspect and the local element. After Alyssa Milano spoke, a local woman who runs a prop set shop here in Georgia spoke about the impact of what this bill would do if Hollywood left and how it would impact her as a local Georgian participating in the economy here.
Now, I did see posts on social media from people on both sides urging people to call and weigh in on their opinions at the governor's office. But this does feel different than the religious liberty bill that then Governor Deal vetoed a couple years back. Back then, there were huge companies, organizations involved. Disney, which owns Marvel and Pinewood Studios. The NFL, which was then finding a home for the 2019 Super Bowl. Any of those big companies go on record for the heartbeat bill?
Well, there weren't any big, not major companies then, and those who did come in came in near the end. Businesses that really just wanted to have something to say after, I think they were called out by the media in a lot of cases. Why haven't you said anything? So we didn't hear from the major companies. This is different as a moral issue, as a social issue, I think, than religious liberty. And so I think, frankly, a lot of people are waiting to see what happens at the court level. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why put it out there when you know this is probably going to court? It's
right. And I would also say that this is because of the court. It's a different issue. Religious freedom, religious liberty, those bills have been enacted in different places and largely been upheld. But this abortion bill is being viewed by the sponsors and the governor and some other people as an angle to try to get in front of the Supreme Court. So maybe, you know, I don't think Marvel or Disney or some of these larger studios wants to necessarily be filing amicus briefs to the Supreme Court for or against Roe versus Wade, necessarily.
That's GPB Politics reporter Stephen Fowler. Lawmakers TV Capitol correspondent Donna Lowry is also with us, shedding some light on the final day of the legislative session and the session as a whole. Okay, so medical marijuana passed, as did a measure that would extend the time law enforcement is required to keep rape kits. Now, we've talked a little bit on this program about the testing backlog and destruction of kits, but Donna, could you recap that for us? Where did the bill come from and what does it mean for victims?
This has been a long time thing. It's been several years in the making. And what we know is that sexual assault evidence has not been preserved, or it's been preserved for so long that it is no longer useful. And that means that crimes cannot be solved. So this allows for a shorter period of time for those rape kits to be available so that we're getting to the point where they can be used in to solve the crimes, because we were finding that there was quite a backlog of these rape kits.
So people were not being charged. In some cases, we even found that someone raped again when their evidence was in sitting in a holding cell somewhere. Okay, so, all right, let's get on to some other legislation. Some rural Georgia issues have been a priority for lawmakers and Governor Kemp ahead of this session. The House Rural Development Council, they met several times last year.
One of the bills that squeaked through just before the deadline would help with internet access. Stephen, can you break that down for us? What does it do?
So rural broadband is a big issue that lawmakers on both sides of the aisle and the governor say that they wanted to tackle. And basically, there are large pockets of the state that don't have reliable internet access. And in the places that do, or maybe it's a little bit reliable, there's only one carrier. So if something happens, you are really out of luck. I've been talking to people across the state throughout the session about this issue. And the bill that passed would allow electric membership corporations to sell internet. And this is a good idea in the lawmakers' minds because these people, these entities sell power to these residents so they could use their existing infrastructure and the power to give internet to places that don't have the same speeds that larger metropolitan areas do. They passed a bill earlier in the section that would allow telephone cooperatives to do the same thing. The logic being, we can serve you with telephone and internet at the same time, and it's not building an entire new infrastructure for this.
Okay, so we've talked about the shenanigans that happened during the waning days of a legislative session. This session focused especially on a what we'll call a Franken bill that would give a jet fuel tax break for Delta and potentially hand over control of Atlanta's airport to the state. How did this combination shake out?
Well, it didn't. So there was a conference committee for another vehicle for a bill that was an innocent bill that would do some sort of Georgia Department of Transportation changes for contracting. But the same House chairman that added on the first Franken bill added a bunch of stuff to this bill. If SB 200 were to pass, it would be this innocent bill. It would give the jet fuel tax break. It would also do this rural transit plan, and there would be no mention of the airport. But really, the issue of the airport takeover and the tax break was just so toxic for both chambers that nothing has ended up happening for all of those. So no airport takeover, no legislative oversight of the airport, no tax fuel break, jet fuel tax break for Delta, and no idea what's going to happen next session.
All right. So during this session, Donna, you spoke with Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms about the proposed state takeover. Here's some of what she had to say.
I understand concerns about perception, but then there's also reality. And what I would say is that when you live in a glass house, you shouldn't throw stones. The state's had its own challenges. And this notion that the state needs to come in and take over and that the state can do it better is not founded upon anything other than presumption.
The mayor also called the state's attempt to oversee the airport an act of war. So what do you think about her reaction to the bill and the way it played out, which is didn't happen?
I think that she landed the right blows. She pointed it back at them and said, listen, look at what's happened at the state level, some problems that you've had that you haven't been able to take care of. And I think they looked at themselves and wondered whether or not they could do a better job of that. Plus, we always understood that the House Speaker and the governor did not really like this idea of an airport takeover. So they really didn't have the momentum there. And so when they tried the oversight authority for the airport, they added these other 9 airports across the state. Those airports were blindsided by that. And I think that killed that part of it. In the end, by yesterday, that part had been taken out, and we thought there's just the jet fuel exemption and this effort to help with rural transit would come through, and that never happened. I think the most surprising thing about this legislative session is there was no package that dealt with transit, no transportation package at all.
And, you know, one quick thing I'll add is that this really sets up the stage for rural Georgia versus urban Georgia, increasingly Democratic versus Republican areas. And we'll see this through the next 3 years of the governor's tenure.
Well, let's pick that up in the next segment. We're taking a quick break and we're going to get to the wrap of the legislative session and an overview of the session, which was an historic one indeed. Stay with us for more of On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott.